wonderful friend. Welcome to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A. This is the program where we respond to difficult questions concerning God, faith, contemporary religion, and the Bible, and where we look at the world religious trends in the light of Bible prophecy. I am Nick Krita, your host, and I'm very happy to have you with us today. Thank you for tuning in, and stay with us for this hour as we have a very special program today. But first of all, I would like to say hello to our co-host, and it's good to have with us Tracy Papandreou.
Hi, Nick, and hi to all the listeners. Can you believe it, Nick, that we are so close to the end of this year? Just amazing how this year has just, well, it's flown by for me. What about for you?
Absolutely right. And not only the year, but every week, and the days are shorter. And yeah, indeed, went very fast. And but it's good. It's good to be able to talk about things which are going on around this time of the year. Mm. And my dear friend listening today, you can be part of this program. You can always send us a text message with a question, a thought, a prayer request. You just need to SMS on 04-888-808-11. Have this number safe. Put it down in your gadget there, or write on a piece of paper or whatever you like, to as a drive time number, because you can always talk to us and let us know how you enjoy these programs. And on this number will come just a bit later with the offer which we have for today, and that will be wonderful to you to get this offer and to enjoy it also, because that's why we're choosing some special books you to enjoy. And I like to just say, Tracy, as you mentioned, yeah, the year went so fast, and we are around this time of the year when people are also even more busier, because they, you know, they do all the preparations and
rushing around like mad idiots.
Absolutely. and you know what? That happens year after year. And it seems like that as the years pass by, even more hectic. I don't know why.
I tried to, I did make a decision to opt out of quite a lot of that a number of years ago. In our family, we agreed that only the young people, the little people, would actually get gifts. So it has just become a lot easier. We just understood that we're all very blessed as it is. And, you know, we really didn't need more stuff. And once we all as a family agreed that, it just kind of made Christmas so much easier. So, yeah, I'm appreciative for the fact that we've kind of stepped back from that.
Yeah, no, that's good. That's good. And sometimes you need to step up and make some decisions like that, and, pray to God. God will give us strength to also fulfill those promises.
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, not to spend too much time focusing on it, but I remind myself that when we talk about the Christmas story, which we're going to be talking about later today, you know, the gifts were brought to Jesus. There weren't gifts, you know, for everyone else. So I actually made a decision probably a few years ago to kind of flip it around and to each December stop and think about what is going to be my special gift to God and to Jesus this year.
Yeah. Well, interesting that you mention the Christmas story, and that's what is known, you know, all around the world, even though there are many people around the world who don't celebrate Christmas. They may enjoy this time, but I spoke just the other day with some people who say, oh, we don't, for us, that particular day is like a normal day. We don't celebrate Christmas. And because we are asking, you know, some of the questions today, we are asking like, what is Christmas all about? You know, we already looked at some of the questions like, should I celebrate Christmas? Is it pagan? What's the origin of Christmas? Or does the Old Testament really foretell Christ, you know, because the reason, again, as you mentioned, people celebrate Christmas is because of the birth of Jesus Christ.
Well, religious people, mm-hmm. yes. There's lots of people who celebrate Christmas, but for a totally different reason.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. And also another question was posed, like, is Jesus just a myth like Santa? And, you know, for many people, as you just said now, Christmas is more about Santa Claus and some other things.
And presents.
Yeah, and presents, and not necessarily about Jesus.
Mm.
Can I accept a virgin birth? That was a question asked also, and I believe a very important one, because when we talk about faith and, you know, from a Christian point of view, that's what we believe, you know, and God is able.
Mm.
God is able to do anything, you know. I mean, God was able to create us and to be so beautifully created in His image, you know, and then He can do all sorts of things if he likes. But today we are going to focus a bit more, Tracy, on this aspect, the biblical story of Christ's birth. Is it relevant today? And you see, this is what I like. I like to talk about the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, it doesn't really matter when He was born, you know, because obviously if you look into the history, it didn't happen in this time of the year. But the idea is that is the biblical story of Jesus' birth still relevant today? Or we are celebrating, or these festivals like Christmas or maybe even Easter and don't have anything to do with the event at all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is very important to pose these questions, you know, to ourselves and again, ask ourselves, what's the reason?
Mm-hmm.
What's the reason of thinking? For me, I will say it's when I was a child, I like to be Christmas every day. Maybe for a different reason, you know. But for a Christian, you know, to get to understand and Jesus and the role of God in our life and the birth of Jesus, it should be every day, you know, the birth of Jesus. We need to experience it and to be reborn again ourselves. And we can go into these stories, you know, to bring those parallels together. But I really like to mention this, that I appreciate when people say, well, look, we don't celebrate this because they didn't get to this to understand or to believe in this aspect. You know, there are people who don't believe that Jesus existed. There are people also who are still looking for Messiah, because Jesus was not just that being born in Bethlehem, like some 2,000 years ago, but Jesus was promised in the Bible. A prophetic event took place over 2,000 years ago. It was not just that a baby was born in Bethlehem. No, it was a prophecy fulfilled at the right time.
And my personal belief is that you should live what you believe, and, you know, people kind of just going through the motions of their faith, you know, they're not getting the full power that is available through a relationship with Christ. So, yeah, I think if people are celebrating things but not knowing why they're celebrating them, then it's time to dig into the Bible. And I'm hoping that perhaps there may be some listeners who will, you know, get some deeper insights when we look at the story today.
Absolutely.
More fully.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, around this time of the year, I believe it's also good to remember about all the things going on in this world. All the events, good and bad. But most of all, you know, we know about the bad things going on. And we should just taking time to think of our friends and family and, you know, neighbors. And I think that from that point of view, it's a good thing that people are coming together around this time of the year.
Well, it can actually also be a very lonely time for some people.
That's true.
And so, yeah, we need to be thinking of people who may be isolated in some way, and just you know, be mindful of those kinds of things where we might be able to invite people that we know who are perhaps, you know, a bit more isolated, that they might not feel, because it's a time when traditionally people get together with their family, don't they? And not everybody has that kind of situation or good relations with family. So it can be a time that is quite painful for some people. Mm. So I guess just remember those people that you know who are isolated, or and remember them in your prayers, and where possible, think of, you know, inviting them to join in with you where they can.
Sure. And again, my dear friend, we would like you to consider this, to send us a text message with your thoughts. And you may feel like Tracy just said, if you feel lonely, if you want to talk to somebody, use this number and talk to us. And the number is 04-888-808-11. But Tracy, let me again ask that question and pose it before you now, and see what you think about is the biblical story of Christ's birth still relevant today, and maybe for you?
I think when you dig into the story, you begin to see how really relevant it is for everyone, and particularly Christians who experience that deep relationship with Christ. I actually think this is the greatest story ever told, and it's not surprising to me that there was a movie, a classic movie, made years ago about Jesus, about his birth and his life, and it was called The Greatest Story Ever Told. It was actually, it came out in 1965, and some of the great actors of the time were actually starred in it. We had Charlton Heston. He actually played John in the movie, and Dorothy McGuire, who was one of the leading ladies of the time, she actually played Mary. And there were a cast of many who already had found success in Hollywood at that time. Now, obviously, given it's a Hollywood movie, we know that sometimes Hollywood strays somewhat from the actual, but I haven't watched it yet. It's on my playlist for while we're having a break over the Christmas period, just to check it out. It's quite a long movie.
Okay. Well, I may just, while you said that, you intrigued me now, I may watch that too.
Yeah.
Particularly that was made so long ago, 1965, and that's a special year. That's one of the best years, I think.
Is that because maybe you were born that year?
Because
I'm just guessing.
I experienced some birth on that year. Well, I'm telling you now.
But it's really interesting when I looked into this. This started out as a 30-minute radio series as far back as 1949, and it was inspired by the four Gospels. And then that radio series inspired Fulton Oster to actually adapt that into a 1949 novel. It wasn't until 1954 that 20th Century Fox acquired the film rights to the novel. But then, as often happens, the development of the film stalled for many years. It originally came out, you know, a long movie length. It was 4 hours and 20 minutes, one of the longest movies ever. And it was originally cut to, and then it was cut to 3 hours and 41 minutes, which is far more doable. Still long, but I think that's doable. But interestingly enough, originally they had the Middle East in as their location, and some of that stuff got in the way, probably cost, etc. So in the end, their locations that they used were Glen Canyon, that region on the Arizona-Utah border in the US, and the Colorado River was a stand-in for the River Jordan. So so that'll be interesting to take a look at. And it was nominated for 5 Academy Awards in 1966. One of the things that made me also want to take a look at it over the break is a review comment that I looked at, and it says, although it doesn't stick to all the facts of the good book, Greatest Story does an exquisite job at depicting Jesus' life and persecution, his death and his eventual resurrection. Mm. So just one, you can get it on YouTube. That's where I've got it and bookmarked it for when I'm taking some time off and I want to just chill a bit. But that's really interesting that even the outside world, not religious world, they have recognized this as the greatest story ever told.
Absolutely. And it's good actually to hear that sort of thing. I wonder now, and just maybe to pose this question for ourselves here, myself and yourself, Tracy, and for all our listeners, how do you relate to this great story, or the one of the best story ever told? Are you in the picture? You see, sometimes it's important to realize that we don't need to just be like a third party looking at something done. We could be in. We can be part of the story. How wonderful is that, Tracy, to be part of this wonderful story? How Jesus can really be born in your life, in my life. I think this is very, very important because, of course, even historically now, people cannot really question this because it's not only biblical reports about the birth of Jesus, but it's historical reports about that. And it's just a matter of if you want to accept it or not, to believe or not. But, history is history. I wonder, my dear friend listening today, if you'll consider that to really allow Jesus to take place in your heart around this time of the year. That would be wonderful. But Tracy, movies are great, and I'm looking forward myself maybe to watch that movie. But we are going to look into the Bible. We are going to see what the Bible tells us about this beautiful story. But just before we do that, I would like to take a short break here, play a song, and then we'll be back with you, my dear friends. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us here on Drive Time BQ&A with Nick Rita and Tracy Papandreou.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
To the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room. Heaven and nature sing. Heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. To the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. And sorrow grow, no thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow. Far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. His love and wonders of His love and wonders and wonders of His love, wonders of His love.
Welcome back to Faith FM Drive Time Big Q&A with Nick Rita and Tracy Papandreou. That was a beautiful song by Gavin Chateler and family called Joy to the World. And just before the break, we were talking about one of the greatest story ever told, even a movie done on this one. But my dear friend, I'd like you to enjoy a book which we have prepared for you around this time of the year. And that's Knowing Jesus, Knowing God by David Marshall. And this wonderful book, it's yours, free of charge, no obligation. If you like to send us a message to 04-888-80811. Now on that message, on an SMS, we'll like you to put the code SA244. SA stands for South Australia 244. That's the code, SA244. Please send that as a SMS to 04-888-80811. And our good friend, the bot, will take you through. Tracy, just before the break, you share with us about what the birth of Jesus means for us and Christianity in particular, but not only. We mentioned that many other people still enjoy this time of the year when Christianity celebrates the birth of Jesus. But I would like you to take us now through some passages in the Bible to allow the Bible to speak and to bring alive this wonderful story which you just talked about before the break.
And I probably have to say ahead of time to the listeners to bear with me a little bit, because I'm actually going to be reading quite a bit of scripture in the program today, because I feel it's so easy for us to gloss over some of the items in scripture. And I think, as I said, this is such an important story which has so many elements that I think it's important for us to revisit this this story, so we can make the case, Nick, that this is in fact the greatest story ever told, and it's still relevant to people today. We find the story of Christ's birth in the gospel books of Matthew and Luke. They're actually the only books in the Bible that tell, in the New Testament, that tell of Jesus' actual birth. But there's many other books in the Bible that actually hint at, and there is the prophecy of his coming, etc. But only Matthew and Luke are the ones that actually spell out exactly what happened around the birth. So I'm going to start with the conception, because I think that's where we need to start, actually, before the birth, because there are things that we can learn about the whole story there. Christ's conception was like no other, because his conception or his origins were like no other. So let's take a look at what Luke has to say about this. And I'm going to be reading Luke 1, 26 through to 38. So it starts. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. So an amazing, amazing story there. We see from that that there was no biological earthly father or mother for Jesus. Although Mary was the carrier, the DNA came straight from God, straight from Jesus. So it was a miraculous conception. And we know there, we see there, nothing is impossible with God. And the angel even gave to Mary the example that Elizabeth, her older relative, who had been barren for so long, she told her that she's actually in her 6th month of her pregnancy at this stage. So something that you thought was never going to happen at this stage, well, look, there's an example. So believe. And I always love when I listen to this story and I hear Mary's response, because, you know, she's just been told an incredible thing. She's just had an angel come to her and say, yes, you're still a virgin. That's still going to be the case, but you're going to conceive a child. And by the way, it's actually going to be the savior of the world. And she, you know, initially she said, how is this possible? You know, I haven't been with a man. And at the end, she's just saying, let it be according to your word. It's just an incredible faith, an incredible surrendering of all of her plans to whatever God has planned for her. And in this story, we also see the amazing love of God. You know, he has such a love for us that he allows an amazing humility for the sake of others. When you think about this, this is the creator of the universe. And we know that from John 1:1-5, where it says, everything that was created through him, Jesus. And in John 1:14, it says that God became flesh for us. So it just shows an amazing love and amazing humility that God has for the sake of us. And just as liquid can take on a new form and become a gas, Jesus allowed himself to become an innocent baby to grow and be born, just as we do. So there's nothing he doesn't understand and has not experienced that we have in our human lives, even down to the conception and the birth that we, well, the conception is a little bit different, but the birth is exactly the same as what happens to us. It's amazing. He has done it so virtually everything in the life was the same as ours except for the sin.
Interesting what when you're saying those things and you read the passage, this beautiful story, some words just stood up for me there. And one of the things you said, that how Mary was so faithful and she accepted straight away. But, you know, in one of the verses says here that the angel, you know, when approached Mary and said to her not to be troubled, you know, not to be afraid. But imagine here a being, you know, a supernatural being, you know, I don't know what form was that, but came to Mary and spoke like that and says, you know, Mary, you have found favor with God. She must be
a righteous good woman,
you know. And she found favor with God. And then God was just, you know, doing the rest of the thing, which you just said, for God, nothing is impossible. God can do anything. God can raise, you know, beings even from the stones and whatever. But a human being here to be chosen, to be part of this story, the amazing story, the birth of the King of the universe, you know, to be born through a human being.
And maybe that's the question that Mary will have when she's in heaven face to face with Jesus in that capacity, to say, what exactly was it that I was chosen over another woman? You know, I'm sure, you know, those she you know, felt honored and accepted it, but I'm sure, you know, there remained kind of, you know, questioning, you know, what makes me so different than another woman.
But I think the Bible says that she was not even telling too many people about this thing, you know, and also the story being told about another miraculous thing, you know, the conception of, you know, John the Baptist.
Yes,
you know?
yes. Yeah. That was just a little taste for her to say, you know, that God can do anything. And we, and again, you know, we, if we look at John 8:58, that's where Jesus is talking about his origins and the fact that he was around before he was actually conceived and born as a baby. This is why the Pharisees were up in arms about things. In that verse, it says that Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Mm. So we know, again, you know, that just shows amazing love, amazing humility, that Jesus was prepared to step down from that sovereign place that he occupied previously to take on the form of a little baby and allow himself to be put in a vulnerable situation all for us. Yeah. So just amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. We're asking this question, you know, today, is the story of Jesus' birth, you know, still relevant today? I would like to say this, that it can be even more relevant if we know the Word of God and the promises in the Word of God, as you just said, the prophecies in regard of this. Otherwise, it can be difficult to accept something like that. You can come with all the science and all the, you know, question marks there, but if you know the Word of God and allow God to teach us, to teach you, my dear friend, about this story, I think you'll understand and appreciate it even the greatest level.
The depth of it. And you were just talking about, you know, knowing the Bible well and that giving a richness, if you like, to this story. And you talked about the prophecies, etc. So I just want to go back to a couple of texts in the Old Testament that actually prophesied about this birth of Jesus. And we look at Isaiah 7:14, where it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." So it was there years and years and years before Jesus was actually born. And then again in Micah 5:2, we see that it was even predicted exactly where he would be born. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." Mm. So we see that the story in the New Testament is actually a fulfillment of the prophecies that were there in the scriptures long before, the scriptures that Jesus referred people back to in the day. So that's just amazing. There's actually quite a lot that you can actually pull out of the story just from looking at the conception part of it. But now I'd like to move on to the actual birth side of things, because there's a little bit more to take from that. So now I'm going to be reading from Matthew 1:18-25. And it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. That's quoting Isaiah, which I was quoting previously, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So here, what I take from this is the precision of the word of God. The Old Testament predicted Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, even though Mary and Joseph, they were of Nazareth. They were living in Nazareth, which was a city in Galilee. So, you know, prior to the time, it would kind of seem strange. Hang on, that the baby's supposed to be born in Bethlehem, and yet a woman from Nazareth has been chosen. And even Joseph might have thought that as well, because obviously he was a good man, you know, that he was chosen as part of the story as well, and he would have known his scriptures very well. So with him, before he was told by the angel, hey, don't worry, you know, what Mary told you, that's true. She hasn't been with anyone else. Before that, it would be easy for him to think, yeah, what a story. I know that the Saviour is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Mm. So yeah, it's amazing.
And
how
just on that aspect, because I think this is an important point you're making here. You know how it is with prophecy? It's good to bring before us the plan which God has for us, but not always we understand everything, how that will take place. But we need to trust in God and allow the plan of God to unfold. What's amazing here is that when you see the fulfillment, when you see the, oh, look at that, I just can imagine when Joseph and Mary were traveling towards Jerusalem, and she was pregnant, you know, and expecting, you know, the child. Now, I can just imagine, you know, how the word of God would have come through in their mind, because you said something about Bethlehem when you read the passage there that says Bethlehem Ephratah, because there were two Bethlehems,
yes,
not far from each other, but God was so particular,
so precise,
to mention that this is about the Bethlehem Ephratah. And that was just not far from Jerusalem, you know, and they stopped there, and we know the story how that took place. My dear friend, I like to encourage you to watch over the, you know, what the Bible says in regard to prophecies, even about the time we live in, because God foretold lots of things what will take place, and it's wonderful to recognize those fulfillments in history.
You know, I think these stories tell us that we can trust the word of God, both in the Old and the New Testament. There are those who may take the view that the Old Testament, that's in the past, you know, we don't really need to worry about that. I've heard people say, hey, we're Christians, we're not Jews, we don't need to worry about that. But it's amazing how much of the Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament, and how once you know the Old Testament well also, it brings such richness to the New Testament. And I always say, hey, remember that Jesus referred people back to the Old Testament, so he didn't think it was irrelevant at the time. But let's look a little bit in the story further about actually how they come to be in that region and the birth taking place there. So in Luke 2, 1 to 16, we read, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger.
Mm.
Can you imagine what it would have been like for them?
Yes, beautiful, beautiful story. And I think this is a good time, Tracy, to take a short break here and be reminded through a song what we just talked about, what was going on in the mind of Mary around this time. And I have a beautiful song here by Adventist Vocal Assembly. "Mary, Did You Know?" My dear friend, we'll take a short break, and but don't go anywhere, because we'll be back right away after this song, and we'll continue and we'll bring it to a conclusion, this wonderful story of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, do you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand?
Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know?
Oh, Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know?
Mary, did you know?
The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again.
Mary, did you know
that your baby boy will one day rule the nation?
Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lad? This sleeping child you're holding is the
of peace.
He's the great
I.
Welcome back. This is Faith FM Drive Time BQ&A with Nikolita and Tracy Papandreou. We're talking about an amazing story in the Bible, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just before the break, Tracy was taking us through the Bible, you know, and beautiful passages there. And we were just talking about here during this song, Tracy, that it's amazing how that brings alive again the story into our hearts every time you read it in the Bible. And that's a wonderful thing. And my dear friend listening today, I'm encouraging you to turn those pages, you know, look into the Bible and be blessed. Be blessed about this wonderful story. Now, Tracy, I know that you like to take us even in some more passages in the Bible and make some, you know, take some lessons out of this and even some parallels, if it's possible. Would you like to take us further?
Yeah, as we were talking through that song, Nick, I just, when I read these stories, it just makes me once again, just reminded so much of God's amazing love, and two, just how we can be so confident of what we read in the Bible. And as you said, Nick, even if it might seem, how is that possible? If it's God's plan, He'll bring it about. And I just want to read of what was promised in that birth and what is available to us in Isaiah 9, 6-7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amazing things that we have to look forward to. And again, in John 3:16, that passage that many of us know so well, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, we see amazing love in all that story. And we also see what comes out for me, Nick, is God's amazing protection that there was to Mary and Joseph in this time as well. Because we're told, the story continues about Jesus' life, and we're told about how he was even, they were told about when it was time for them to actually move along as well. An angel was sent to Joseph to tell them to leave immediately Bethlehem and go to Egypt. And so maybe we don't have time to actually go into that completely, but we see that the angel came and told Joseph, hey, you know, you need to actually get out of here because Herod found out that a new king had been born and he was a bit worried, and he didn't step back from being violent in trying to take down any of his challenges or rivals, if you like. So, I just see amazing protection that there was also for that family. And God also then told them when it was safe to go back to Nazareth, and we see that in Matthew 2:19-23. So a few of the things that I really take from this story, and again, I would reiterate, as you have, Nick, that this Christmas we encourage people to sit down and actually go through these scriptures themselves. I believe that there's a real blessing that comes to people when they take the time to actually read the Word. The things that I have taken from this story, which is a story that has everything. It has a hero and a villain. It's an incredible love story, the story of God's love for us. And it's also a story that helps us know that we are loved and understood. You know, Jesus came down from heaven to be a baby and be born so that he would really live and understand the life that we live. He loves us so much despite our defects. And there's also the amazing promise of victory in that story. We see also that nothing is impossible with God. Virgin conception and birth is no problem for him. We know that God knows everything and is in control of everything, even when it might seem like it's not. You know, sometimes we see with this world it seems a bit out of control, and people might, before their naked eye, before their eyes, they might think, you know, God's allowing this? What's going on? Mm. But God is in control. He balances that with our free will, of course, but God is in control. God loves us so much. Jesus was the creator of all. He was king and still is king of the universe, yet he allowed himself to be conceived and born as a helpless child that he might die to save us. And we see he understands us and this life completely. In Hebrews 4:15, it talks about us having a high priest who knows us and knows and has experienced everything that we have experienced, yet without sin. And also, too, we see the protection that was afforded to Mary and Joseph in this story. And that same protection that was afforded to Jesus in the womb and as a small child, and which kept him safe, is available to us today through the gift of the Holy Spirit, which the more time we spend with God, the more we become familiar with the voice of the Holy Spirit, and the more the Holy Spirit can help to guide us in our personal life.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Tracy, for sharing with us today on this wonderful story. And my dear friend listening today, would like you to really think over this beautiful story and apply it in your life and make it part of your story also. I'll also like to encourage you again to get this book which we have prepared for you today, Knowing Jesus, Knowing God, by David Marshall. And you just need to send us a text message with the code SA244. SA stands for South Australia 244. Send that code to 0488 808 11. Tracy, would you mind if I ask you to maybe just say a short prayer as we close?
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to pray for all of our listeners today. I just thank you for your amazing love, dear Lord. And I pray for our listeners, Father, that this Christmas their heart would be opened in a special way, that they might know the breadth and the depth and the heights of love that you have for them, Father. And I just pray for those who may be on their own at this point in time, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would come and help them to feel how much they are loved by you. Mm-hmm. We thank you for your goodness, your love, and your plan to save us, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, thank you for that, Tracy. And my dear friend, would like to wish you, you know, a happy and safe holiday during this period of time. We may just see you before, or hear you if you like to communicate with us just before the new year. But may God richly bless you and enjoy this beautiful song, Silent Night.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
Night, holy night.